Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for dungeon masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Find The Dungeon Cast anywhere you get podcasts or on YouTube.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to Let's Get Civical.
This is the podcast that breaks down politics, government structure, and dives into the context of current events, but in a super fun way. I'm Lizzie Stewart, comedian, feminist, and political junkie.
And I'm Arden Walentowski, former Senate intern, campaign staffer, and political strategist.
In this episode, we're talking about the Cuyahoga River Fire.
So grab your Earth Day.
And let's get civical. Hello, everybody.
Hello, everyone.
Welcome back to Let's Get Civical. I am Lizzie Stewart.
And I am Arden Walentowski.
And it is 2024, our yes. First recording session of 2024. Here we are.
Here we are. We made it.
Do you have this thing? I have this thing where even numbers make me feel better.
Oh, you've mentioned this before.
I must have. Because I just really like even numbers, and I really like even numbers divisible by four. Probably because I was born on August 8th, 16th, 16th, both of which quite divisible by four.
That's a very, interesting. I love you so much. It's a very interesting thing.
I also graduated elementary school in 2004.
Wow.
And then I graduated college in 2014.
That's amazing.
I'm amazing.
Well, you are amazing.
I graduated high school in 2011, so that doesn't really count.
That
but
doesn't count.
You know
that
what I mean?
That doesn't count. Well, you know, high school's shitty. That's why it's a shitty year.
Gross.
Gross. Gross. That's why we, that's, high school's gross.
Yeah.
I probably don't share that affinity as strong as you. I do appreciate when it's, I guess, a 2025 feels better to me than a 2021.
Sure.
You know, like it's an odd number, but it's a, yeah. It's a rounder odd number.
You like divisible, like things that are easily divisible by 100.
Yes.
That's what you like. I get it. Milestones. Yes, I like
milestone numbers. Yes.
Yeah. Tens and fives.
Tens and fives. I like that.
Halfways.
20s, 100s, $1,000 bills.
25s.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Not my 25th birthday.
Okay.
That was distressing.
Yeah.
But yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. Every time we get to an even year, I'm like,
okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. You feel
so
grounded
here we are.
Again.
Mm-hmm. We're grounded. We're grounded in 2024.
Yeah.
New year, same us.
Yeah.
Same us. In fact, so same us that when you sent me this episode, I was like, here, she's back on her bullshit.
There we go again.
She's here back on her bullshit. Uh-huh. We're doing, uh-huh. we're kicking it off.
Yeah.
With a disaster, with a natural, disaster.
Yes. Man-made natural disaster.
Man-made turn natural disaster, mm-hmm. as these often are.
Yes.
Have we mentioned this before?
Yes, because this actually came, and let's give a shout out to our intern Houston.
Oh my
for
God.
Keeping us on track.
Oh, Houston.
For sending
Houston,
us this Houston.
We love you so much.
We love you so much. This was one of those things that we mentioned in some podcasts that we did mm-hmm. last year. That I was like, I want to do an episode on this.
Yeah.
And God bless his soul. in the nice way, not in the down south way where you're like, God bless him. Actually, dear Lord, God bless his soul. He like wrote down the ideas. And when I looked at the list that he sent over the holiday break of like, here are all of the things that you said you wanted to talk about. And I was like, oh, yes, please, fire.
Let's look. If you're going to put a fire on the list, consider it done.
Yeah, consider it done.
A man-made act of human stupidity. Yum, yum, yum.
Yes.
In my tum, tum, tum.
Yes.
We're going to eat it up.
Eat it up.
We're going to eat it up.
Yeah.
So we are obviously doing today's episode on the Cuyahoga River fire. Yes. Big fire.
Big fire.
Disastrous fire.
Yes.
And we're going to tell you why, how, when, who done it.
Mm-hmm.
And probably once again, balk at how bad we are or were, are and were at handling fires.
And yes. And the big thing about this fire is like the impact that it had.
Right.
On history. Yes.
So. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, before we do that, do you want to tell us the sources for today?
Yes. And we're starting off the year strong with our two favorites because in our golden year of 2024, we need other sources. We need other people. We need other strong people and sources to lift us up and carry us through the year. But we're starting off strong. The National Park Service and History.com. I mean,
need we say more?
That's it. Yeah.
So with that, let's jump in.
Yeah.
First off, talking about what happened. What happened?
Because literally, guys, we're talking about a river that
A river on fire. I actually didn't make that association. Thank you for pointing that out. This is a river that does catch fire.
Just wanted to make sure we're clear. It's a body of water on fire.
And that is really something.
And it's not just that this is the first time that this body of water has caught fire. It caught fire all the time.
All the time.
All the time. And this isn't like 18 Hamanisha, 17 Hamanisha. Like,
it's recent.
This isn't George Washington time.
No.
This is like our parents were like smoking pot time.
It's on fire again.
It's on fire.
Yes. Yes. That is actually really good to point out that all the fires that we've talked about thus far have happened in like the 1800s and in the past.
Yes.
We've not done what I would consider a relatively modern day fire.
Yeah.
Disaster.
Yeah.
So this is new context, but it is very important to note that this is a river that is on fire, which is not something that should happen in the 20th and 21st century.
No.
In my humble opinion.
No.
We should be able to keep water wet and fire hot. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. So let's talk about what happened. Stories about the 1969 Cuyahoga River fire often combined fact and myth. People generally agree about what occurred on and immediately after June 22, 1969. Myth enters the stories when people describe the fire as a primary cause of major milestones in the environmental movement. The fire took place in Cleveland, Ohio, a few miles north of Cuyahoga Valley National Park. Heavy industry dominates this section of the river. So we're back in your home state of Ohio.
Yes,
so much happens in Ohio. And I'm from Texas. We were a country once. And I'm like, y'all got a lot going on.
We got a lot going on.
There's a lot going on in Ohio.
Yeah. We busy.
Y'all busy. And y'all industrial. Mm-hmm. And you're like mid, but not. It's a lot. Railroad bridges near Republic Steel trapped debris in the river, causing it to pile up. Oil on the water added to its Flammability? Sounds silly. Flammability.
So there's just
know me. I'm just flammability.
So there's just like, you know, big factories along the water. Yeah. And they're like, we need a place to put our trash.
I know. The river.
The river. It's right there. That's why we built our factories here.
It's a giving. You know what it's giving? I think I've talked about this before because we've obviously dealt with pollution of water several times.
Mm-hmm.
It's giving the Lorax.
Yes.
It's especially mm-hmm. like the original cartoon version where you move in yes. and you just see the industry dumping into the rivers and then the fish are like.
can't.
Yep. Oh my gosh. It's so giving that. Y'all, yes. stop dumping stuff in the like.
I know.
Am I crazy?
I know. I'm like, don't you eat fish? Would you eat the fish that came out of this water?
Have you ever had a baked salmon?
Right. It's very perplexing.
Good gosh.
I know.
Good gosh. Anywhere else. Put it on land. Ugh. A flare tossed from an overpassing train likely provided the spark that ignited the debris. The fire lasted for less than half an hour and resulted in minor damage to the railroad bridge. Great.
Right. So there's like a train passing over on a bridge.
Choo-choo.
Some, yes, there's, the river is like loaded with debris, mm-hmm. covered in oil. So we've got kindling.
Yeah.
We've got like, you know, the stuff that's going to catch fire. We've got oil that, you know, flammable oil covering the river.
Oil sits on top of water.
Oil sits on top of water.
Yeah.
Right.
That's
good. Excellent fourth grade science point. Great.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then somebody from the rail on the train that's going over the railroad bridge over the river is like, tosses a flare, lands on the oil covered river.
Totally.
And it catches fire.
Yeah.
Phew. Yeah. And it burns for like, I think this is less than a half hour. Other things that I read were like 20 minutes it burned.
Mm-hmm.
And then, okay, keep going. Keep
okay. Going. Don't spoil. Almost immediately, as Arden alluded, the narrative began to change. The fire took place on a Sunday. On Monday, June 23rd, Cleveland Mayor Carl Stokes led local press on a pollution tour of the river. So this was an already scheduled tour, or this was because of
the fire. So we're also going to talk about like this was not the first fire. This happened all the time. This
all
is
the
why
time.
All the time. This is why it only lasted 20 minutes because people are like, here we go again.
Get the bucket.
Get the bucket. Put out the fire. So they put out the fire. The actual fire was not a big deal. It's just that there was already this, like, this is, I think, where people are like, there's controversy around whether the Cuyahoga River fire of 1969 was, like, truly responsible for creating the EPA.
Ah.
Do you know what
spoilers.
I mean? Like,
yes.
You know. But so the mayor of Cleveland, Carl Stokes, was like, this is a disastrous fire. You're horrible. This is a bad situation on the river is bad. And it was.
Yeah.
But the fire just, you know, alerted people to that. And he's like, look at the disastrous river.
It's
covered in gook and debris and oil and slick and like, look at this. And he literally took the press around and was like, look at that disgusting heap of mayhem.
Oh, my goodness.
That disgusting heap of mayhem. Take your photos.
So interesting. I mean, shout out to Carl.
Yeah.
Opportunist.
Yes.
Stokes, mayor of Cleveland.
He's like, it's not the worst fire. Let's make a mountain out of a molehill.
Let's make a mountain out of a molehill for good. It's so interesting, though, because I'm also at the same time like, yes, totally. Let's bring awareness so we can get this shit cleaned up, literally. But also I'm like, hey, Carl, this is in your jurisdiction.
Yeah.
What are you doing about it, Mr. Mayor? Like, mayor.
You're mayor. But I'm also like, but this has been going on for decades. So I'm like, this is what he's doing. He's like, maybe he has no power. And he's like, you know what I have? The power of the press.
The power of the press.
And I'm going to use the power of the press. I'm going to call
press
them.
Press is good press.
Take your photos.
Take your photos. Is anybody else feeling faint? Oh, my God.
I cannot breathe. Do you know what that is? It's the oil. It's the chemicals.
Sorry. I got the black lung pop is what is literally what Carl's doing along this river with the press. Okay. I'm into Carl. Carl's a showman. Carl's like, hey, lights up, boys. Mm-hmm. It's time. It's showtime.
Song and dance. Hand me my cane and my top hat. Let's go.
We're about to do a performance worthy of an Oscar.
Let's go.
Okay. So he brings the press. He's like, ew, am I right?
Mm-hmm.
Betty Clerick, one of the nation's first full-time environmental reporters, covered the tour for the Cleveland Press. She had been writing about the Save Lake Erie Now campaign for several years. On August 1st, Time magazine featured Mayor Stokes and the fire in a new section on, quote, the environment.
Mm-hmm.
The article described the Cuyahoga as the river that, quote, oozes rather than flows.
Mm-hmm.
And in which a person, quote, does not drown, but decays. Okay. Shout out to Time magazine.
Yes.
Nailing it.
Yes.
Nailing it.
Doing good work. Yes.
From there, other national and international outlets picked up the story. So it's almost as though this fire was a spark, much like the flare from the train.
Yes.
That created a bigger fire.
Yes.
The fire in our bellies to save the environment.
Yes.
Shout out. Okay.
Shout out. Yeah.
I'm into it.
Yeah. So let's talk about Cleveland and her history of setting water on fire, because she's done that a few times.
Sorry. It's like drinking a sip of coffee when you said that. It is it just doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
For water to catch fire. I think that's a great barometer. Mm-hmm. If your water is catching fire more than once, period, you've got a problem.
It's bad.
That's a great barometer that something is not right.
Yes, it's bad.
Water should be wet, not flammable.
Yes. Though it initially caught the attention of few Cleveland residents, the Cuyahoga River fire stoked, like Lizzie said, the rest of the nation's awareness of the environmental and health threats of river pollution because of the oil and the floating debris and the grossness, and fueled a growing movement that culminated in the creation of the Environmental Protection Agency, better known as the EPA.
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally.
Cleveland had staked its claim as an industrial center in the 19th century when the Civil War turned the then small city into a manufacturing powerhouse. As factories and the local population grew, sewage and industrial remnants poured into the river. But in line with the era's lax attitudes toward the environment, nobody much cared. Like, nobody cared about nobody cared. No. They're just like, throw it in there.
Who cares? It's in the river.
Just put it in the river.
Out of sight, out of mind.
Right, because it's better in the river than in the street where, like, you could step in it.
Totally. Or you could smell it.
You could smell it.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want it on my shoe.
Totally.
Put it in the river.
Put it in the river.
At the time, according to the Property and Environment Research Center, Cleveland sourced its drinking water from Lake Erie and used the river as a sewer.
Yikes McGikes.
Yeah.
Doesn't everything flow into each other? Maybe these two don't.
These two don't.
Okay.
These two don't. The Great Lakes are freshwater lakes from the glaciers.
100%.
Yeah, from the glaciers.
100%.
So municipal authorities left the Cuyahoga River alone, allowing firms along its banks to discharge water into it at will, according to the Property and Environment Research Center. So their thinking is because they're different and they don't flow into each other.
Because it's
fine.
It's all good.
We get the drinking water from Lake Erie.
Yeah.
We don't drink this one, so it's just going to be a sewer.
Yeah, they're like, it's landfill mentality. It's like, we're designating this section
Right.
As a landfill. It's right. just on water.
It's just on water. But it's like, where did they... Did they not think it was going to, like, fill up at some point?
Darling, that's for like, future us to think about.
Where did
about.
They think that it is... was going to go? Like, it goes somewhere.
Either we'll move it. We'll move it.
We'll just... We'll create a dam and we'll send that. It'll go over there.
It'll be fine. Buy it. Yeah, don't worry about it.
We built the Hoover Dam. We'll just build another one. It'll be great.
Totally.
It'll be great.
It'll be fine.
The waste the factories discharged into the river turned the river muddy and filled it with oil, solvents, and other industrial products. Between 1868 and 1952, the river burned 9 times.
It's too many. It's too many times
for rivers to burn.
Too many times.
Yeah. Do you know how many times I've heard of a river burning since I was born and the EPA has been around? Zero.
Is it zero?
It's zero.
Sure.
Sure. Yeah. Because now the rivers are clean and they don't catch fire.
Yeah.
There was a fire in 1952 that racked up $1.5 million in damage, but by most people, occasional fires and pollution were just seen as the cost of industry, a price no one was willing to really dispute. They're like,
yes, the river's going to catch on fire.
No, that's just what happens.
Just another Tuesday. Like, it's fine. It catches on fire. It's wet. Fine. It's not going anywhere. We'll put it out. Forget about it. Yes, we're shaving years off our life. It's fine.
What better place for a fire to catch than on a river?
On water.
When you have the, like, you have...
It's halfway there to being out.
Right. Just, like, dump the river on the fire.
Splish splash.
Like, splish splash. Done.
Splish splash. That's how we put out fires.
Mm-hmm. That's why it only took 20 minutes.
Also, $1.5 million in damage in 1952, that's a lot.
It is a lot.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
Uh-oh. All right, let's talk about the response. The response! Yes. Obviously, we know broad strokes.
Yes.
But a little bit more nitty-gritty, this was the response to the many fires and this particular, the fire.
The fire.
The attitudes towards the environment had changed since the last river fire. In the years before this fire, the 1969 fire, Rachel Carson published Silent Spring, which became a bestseller and opened the eyes of many Americans to the danger of DDT and other pesticides. Congress had begun passing laws to boost air quality and protect endangered species. And a growing counterculture had begun to embrace sustainability as people experimented with back-to-the-land subsistence farming and communal living. Another factor was at play. An enormous oil spill in Santa Barbara, California that sent 3 million gallons of oil into the Pacific Ocean. Suddenly, people's televisions and newspapers featured images of oil-slicked birds and dead dolphins. Uh-oh, you can't come for the birds or the dolphins.
Yeah, people that's worse than, you know, like kids dying of
totally things. You cannot.
No.
Unless you're Dawn, in which case you're like, this is going to be our branding till the end of time.
Right.
Shout out to Dawn for cleaning the birds.
Cleaning the birds.
Outraged and shocked, citizens mobilized to clean up beaches and lobby oil companies not to pollute. Soon, cries for regulation of water pollution became a roar. A grand jury investigation of the cause of the fire followed, as did coalition efforts to clean up the Great Lakes. It even inspired plans for a national environmental teach-in, an event that would become the first Earth Day. So, this fire's really rocking and rolling.
She's doing a lot of heavy lifting.
This is way more inspirational than the other fires that we've covered, where it's just like guy did something stupid, started a fire, then we made it worse. Then Mother Nature came in and was like, here's wind. And then it was death and destruction.
Yes.
And took us 100 years to recover and no change.
right. That this is a much better story.
Much better story.
Much better
much
story.
Much better story. Mm-hmm. Starts this the same, ends differently.
Ends differently. It's a great story to start off the new year with. Happy 2024, everybody.
Happy 2024. 2024. Don't pollute the rivers. My goodness gracious. Don't pollute the rivers.
Happy EPA.
Happy
EPA.
Happy Earth Day.
Happy like, Clean Water Act.
Just do your part. Do your gracious. Part. We Don't... all have seen WALL-E. We yes. all have seen WALL-E. That's my God. Biggest point. You mm-hmm. know where this is headed.
Yes.
You know where this is headed.
Yes.
So if you've seen WALL-E, you know what's up. If you haven't seen WALL-E, oh my God.
Oh my God.
Talk about an emotional roller coaster.
Yes. You Get will feel it. Bad about yourself.
Yeah. Well, it's like, oh my God, so much. WALL-E is a masterpiece.
It is a masterpiece. Really. Is that the one where the humans are really fat and they live in a spaceship and they're like booped around? Mm-hmm. Like, yes. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. You will feel
and
bad
And it's
about
up to this little robot.
Yes.
To save Earth?
Right.
Let's all take some accountability and not leave it to WALL-E. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, all the plug for WALL-E.
Such a good movie. So, there's a big movement. Things are happening. People are angry. They're roaring out loud. Clean up the rivers. Clean up the waters. We want clean water. We want to swim in beaches and not in oil. Then, in early 1970, President Richard Nixon called for sweeping environmental reform. He created a Council on Environmental Reform, which shortly afterward was consolidated into the Environmental Protection Agency, the EPA.
Totally.
In 1972, Congress overrode Nixon's veto to pass the Clean Water Act, which created national water quality standards. Though the Cuyahoga River fire did not directly lead to the formation of the EPA, it was an important landmark for a burgeoning environmental movement.
Totally.
Yes, absolutely. Totally. I mean, yeah, people were like, rivers don't catch fire. We know
they
this.
They were like, wait a minute, rivers right. don't catch fire. It was a cog in the wheel towards mm-hmm. the EPA.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, things were already in motion. People were
and then,
seeing
and
things.
Then they, and then water caught fire and everybody's like, well, what's next?
And then water caught fire and people were like, no. No.
What's next?
What's next? Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Today, the Cuyahoga River is no longer stagnant or filthy. Public and private efforts have diverted sewage and cleaned up its banks. And according to the National Park Service, the river still has unhealthy amounts of sewage in some areas. This is a long, it's been a while.
It's been a hot minute. Read the last sentence real quick.
I will. Okay, the last sentence, this is the last note. But in March of 2019, the Ohio EPA announced that its fish are now safe to eat.
In 2019. That just proves to you how gross, with a capital J, mm-hmm. this river was.
Yeah.
That it took, let's do the math. Nasty. 50?
Like 50 years.
50 years?
Right?
50 years.
2019 minus...
1969, give or take?
70, 80, 90.
40? 50.
09. 50. 50 years.
It took 50 years.
50 years.
Of like conscious efforts to clean, to make the river almost safe.
Yeah. To like, and now we can eat the fish. And you know, I still probably wouldn't eat the fish.
Look, I'm not eating the fish anytime. I'll give it another 10.
I'll give it another 10.
Just for good measure.
Yeah.
Just for good measure.
Yeah.
But it goes to it just goes to show you, like, this shit ain't, it's not easy to fix once we start.
No.
So let's not start.
Let's not start.
So we don't have to take 100 years to undo being dumb.
Mm-hmm.
And being like, eh, water's whatever.
Yeah.
If the water goes, we go.
We go. Because we need water.
We have to have it.
We have to have it.
We can't generate it
mm-hmm.
out of nothing.
Yeah.
Yet. But still, we got to just protect the water. Just do your part. Just do your part. Be clean. Mm-hmm. Don't be gross. Don't be gross. That's the subtitle.
That's the subtitle. Don't be gross.
The Cuyahoga River Fire. Don't be gross. That's all
we're asking. Maybe that should be the motto for 2024. Don't be gross.
Don't be gross. Be clean. Pick up after yourself. Be an adult. Be a contributing member of society. And that's that. On the Cuyahoga River fire. everybody. As always, if you like what you heard, you can find us on Twitter and Instagram at Let's Get Civical. Please remember to rate, review, and subscribe to us. We love you so, so much, and we will see you next Wednesday.
Goodbye.